Good morning.
Good morning.
Buenos días, in Spanish. I'm very happy to be here again with you. I was talking a little bit about some memories when I came for the first time in 2008, and I had the opportunity to talk, but in Spanish, with a translator, with Mr. Tom. Well, he's not here, so I guess I have to do it in English for all the sermon. Well, please be merciful with me if you hear an English word that doesn't sound with a lot of sense. I'm trying to work in my English, so sometimes with my English not working, and somebody laugh about my poor English, I say, well, okay, so try to pronounce my last name, Iturra. Okay, so they try to pronounce my last name, and so, okay, so it's my time to laugh on you about the Spanish. Well, I want to take just a couple of minutes, a few minutes, to say thank you. I'm the leader of the mission trip to Chile that we'll have this February 13th until 22nd. I'm really excited to go again to my country. Well, I guess right now I'm not sure if I'm Chilean, Colombian, or American, so one of the things that I'm sure that I'm citizen of heaven. So I want to give you thank you for all the support that are you giving to Betsy and Tony, and also to Mr. Tom. And I can say that we have a really awesome team, awesome people that are going to Chile. They are working really hard with the help of God. So I'm really, really happy to have you, Betsy, Tony, and Mr. Tom, and also all your support, prayer, you know, financial support to make that this trip can happen. People in Chile, I can tell you, are really excited to see our friends here that are going to there. The church in Santiago, where I worked before, they are really, really happy to have this opportunity to work together. So I really want to give you thank you for all that you are doing for this mission trip, and for people that you don't know, you never see, but you love in Jesus. Also, I want to give you thank you for all the support that you are giving to us as a family with Adriana and Abigail. You know, I'm still studying in Great Lakes. And also, we are starting a Spanish church in Lansing. And we have a great program with some Latinos. We have an English program, so a Spanish program. So we are doing, trying to do a lot of things to share the gospel with some Latinos that you know that are coming many to the United States. Okay, so I want to give you also thank you for your support to us. And we have we are very excited with my wife and friends for this new year and all the inspiration and work ideas that the Lord put in our heart for to do this year. So thank you very much. I want to ask you something. Some people say that Latinos are a little crazy. So, and I guess that people are right. So can you turn to the person on your side and give a smile and say, oh, you look so beautiful today. Please, can you do that? Say, hey, thank you for coming. You look great, Josh. I know that we don't have to lie, but we love people, so you look great today. I'm just joking. Okay, one of the things that I learned when I came to United States, that Americans love a smile, laugh. Okay, sometimes we are Latinos, kind of serious people, so I want to invite you to prayer before to go to the Word of God, so please pray with me. God, we want to give you thank you for this beautiful day. You tell us through your word that you make this day. It's a special day. And I want to give you thank you with the church because you give us the opportunity to enjoy this day. It's a special day. So we want to open our hearts to give you thank you. We want to open our hearts to be ready to receive everything that you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, your Son, I want to give you thank you for, because today we still enjoy the salvation, your mercy, and your love that one day we receive when we hear about the message and the history of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for die for us, for came to save us and to teach us to believe in our Father, God. Thank you, Lord, because you take all our sins and we worship you because you defeat the death and you are alive. Thank you, God, because your love goes forward and you give us your Holy Spirit. Spirit has a gift to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for help us every day and trying to obey the will of God, love people, and serve. I want to ask you, Lord, your help to me to develop this message today. And I want to ask you, Holy Spirit, that you can open our minds, hearts, so we can learn today and we can go to the action through the word that we want to receive from you today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please go with me to the book, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 13. I will read from that verse, Matthew chapter 14, and I will start verse 13 until 21. Amen. Well, usually in South America, when people are looking the passage of the Bible, the preacher always say, if you have the passage, please give me amen. Okay, so if you have it, give me amen. Okay? Okay, so we're ready. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 say, now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowd heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the village and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They say to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd, and they all eat and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who eat were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The title of my message today is A Singular or Plural Vision of My Christianity. And I have a preposition that I want to develop today in this morning. Why Christianity? It's about one person, but also it's about many. You know, we are in the time of on internet and Facebook, the age of some people say the postmodern age. Okay, so sometimes I have some discussion with my wife because every day that she tried to give me some news about what happened around the world. You know, sometimes when you are too busy, you can't watch new or TV or read a newspaper. So sometimes my wife told me a news and say, "Hey, Terry, I read something that is happening in the world, in this country, here in the United States, in Colombia, in Chile." And always I ask, "Where do you read it?" And she said, "Facebook." I said, "Oh, Facebook doesn't count. Okay, it has to be a newspaper or CNN and TV, but Facebook, I don't read too much about the news on Facebook." Okay? But sometimes, you know, you can find something interesting in Facebook. So I found in the profile of Franklin Graham, the son of Bill Graham, a news and a statement that he put and wrote to share with people. And I want to read it today because it has a connection with my proposition today. And he wrote, "The Muslim call to prayer that has been approved to go out across the campus of Duke University every Friday afternoon for 3 minutes include Allah Akbar. The words that the terrorists shouted at the onset of last week massacre in Paris. It includes a proclamation that there is not God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Will evangelical Christians be allowed the same 3 minutes weekly to broadcast the message across campus that God Almighty of the Bible sent his son Jesus Christ to offer forgiveness of sin and salvation to all who will repent, believe, and call on his name?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And I found really interested the word of Mr. Frank Graham he wrote about this issue that was happening in Duke University. And I make a lot of sense what he was asking about. Well, if the Muslim have the opportunity to pray to Allah, so Christian can have the opportunity to pray to the God of the Bible? So I guess that question was a truly an important question for each one of us that we are living here in the United States, or each one of us that are part of this world. Because we know that this world is changing every day, every moment. I can tell you that when I came to the United States, I came with a lot of good information about your history as a Christian nation. But when I came to the United States, I saw that you can pray in school. You can read sometimes the Bible in some public places. So it was a kind of surprise for me that. Because usually in Latin America, we receive in the past a lot of missionaries from here sharing the gospel with us. So when I had the opportunity to come to the United States, so I was really excited because I was thinking I will go to the land where missionaries came to my country to teach me about the Bible, about the gospel. But when I started to read this news, you know, it was a kind of, I don't know how to say, but interested or sorrow or maybe was a challenge, the time that you and I, we are living here in the United States. And I can tell you the same thing that maybe are happening here in the United States are happening in Chile, in my country, right now. The government in Chile, they tried to put some limitation to Christian to preach the gospel, to read the Bibles, and share with other person about Jesus Christ. And they are working in many laws that are very far away from the values that we can read in the Bible. But when I read this about this issue in the Duke University, also make me think about why Christian today here in United States or in my country or maybe in another country in Middle East or Asia, they don't have the opportunity to pray, to talk, or share about Jesus. My question is, if we talk about Jesus, can hurt somebody? It's dangerous to talk about Jesus to someone else? I guess not. And in my experience, it's not. But why? We are finding that Christians today, they have limitation to express their faith, our faith, in public. I guess because sometimes we have the image that our faith, our personal faith, our beliefs must be something personal, but it's not about the rest of the people. And my question is, what we found in the Bible? I want to talk about 4 points about my preposition. And the first one is about Jesus wanted to be alone. When we read the passage here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, we can see in the context of this passage that Jesus hears the news about the death of John the Baptist. He heard that John the Baptist was killed. And the verse 13 starts when and we can read that Jesus take the decision to go to a desolate place, maybe to be alone. And we read this, and when I read this verse and try to learn from God, made me think in the past, in the history of Christianity, where some spiritual leaders, Christians, they want to be very close to God with good intention, that they take the decision to be alone and go to a separate place, because they thought that if they go to a separate place, they can find in a better way a relationship with God. So maybe the Lord Jesus are teaching us something like that? That we, as a Christian, followers of Jesus, we must to go to a desolate place to find a better way to have a relationship with God? Or maybe this verse make us think that Jesus was so tired about people and about what we can do as humankind. I mean, God sent John the Baptist with good intentions, with the intention to help us. John the Baptist came to help us to be more close to God. And what we did with John the Baptist, the humankind, we took him and we gave him thanks. Thanks, John the Baptist, for came to teach us about God. We did that? No. We took John the Baptist and we killed him because he was talking about God and his will. So maybe the Lord Jesus go to a desolate place because he was so tired about all the things that we can do as a humankind that not always are good things. I must tell you the truth. Sometimes I am tired of people. And I think that sometimes you too. Sometimes I'm tired of my wife. because she always called me to change the diapers of my daughter, and I don't want to change all the time the diapers of my daughter, because I'm doing something important. I'm studying for my classes. And she called me, Darío, call the diapers to Abigail. I said, oh. Sometimes we are tired of our children, daughters, sons. You know, when they came to this world, they are so cutie, and we want to hold them and carry them, you know, and play with them. I'm so happy with Abigail, and I try to play with her every time that I have. But there is a time of the day that I say, oh, I will hide of Abigail because I don't want to play. I need to do another things. And sometimes, maybe if you are a parent, you understand. Maybe, I hope that I'm not the only person, but that sometimes you are tired of your children because maybe you need some time for you. And you feel that you are not the same. But this verse maybe made me think that the Lord Jesus feeling that way. I'm so tired of humankind and came to help them, but they are doing bad things. But I don't think so. Well, this verse doesn't show that the Lord Jesus had that feeling. He wants just to go a desolate place. But the rest of the verse of this passage show us that the people, when they know that the Lord Jesus go to a desolate place and they find where the Lord Jesus was going, they go to that place. Because what the Bible says that the people, many people are called, they want to be with Jesus. So in that way we can see in the context that the people killed the messenger of God, but also we can see in the passage that there is also people that wants to be close to God. And this crowd go to find Jesus. Why? Because the Bible said that the fame of the Lord Jesus, when he started his ministry, his work, was so great that the people hear about this man, this prophet, this messenger of God, and they want to hear his message. They want to go there and see how Jesus looks like. They want to find this man and touch him because they heard that he healed many people. And miracles came from him if you just touch him. For that reason, many people say this passage, go to find Jesus. And the Bible says when the people came and Jesus saw them, the Lord Jesus said, ah, I want to be alone. No? No. The passage said that when the Lord Jesus saw the crowd, he feels something special for them. Sometimes we can think that our relationship with God is too personal. It's about him and I. But when we read the life of Jesus and when we pay attention to him, we will see that it's not only about God and I, but also always it's going to be more people between God and us. And we need to be ready for that. When the Lord Jesus saw the crowd, the Bible said that he feels something special for them. We think that our relationship with Jesus is personal. And it is. But is just that all about? I want to go to the church and sit and be quiet and be alone to worship God. I want to have a special time just for me and God. But when we saw the life of Christ, the Lord, we'll see that always it's going to be more people between him and I. I feel that as Christians, sometimes we put our eyes in heaven for too much time that we forget that our feet are here in this world, in this earth, that we have a challenge in this earth as a Christian, we have a challenge and a responsibility. Jesus tried to go to a desolate place, but the Bible says he went ashore. He take a boat, but there is a time when he go outside of the boat and he put his feet in the ground. You know, the things I believe in heaven are quite different like here. And sometimes, I guess, when we read in the Bible how is the heaven described, how we say, I want to be there. I'm so tired to be here. It's time to go. But you know, when we read the life of Jesus, was the opposite. He was there with glory, and he decided to come here and put his feet here with us. Why? Because he has a special feeling for you, for me, for this world. When he saw the crowd, the Bible says the Lord Jesus has compassion on them and healed their sick. My second point is close follow Jesus. The fame of Jesus was so big that people want to meet Jesus, hear Jesus, and touch Jesus. How the people can do the same today? When I read this passage in the Bible and I read what Franklin Graham wrote on Facebook, I say, well, today there's people that are saying, we don't want that you tell us about Jesus. But I read the Bible, and the Bible said that people go walking, try to find Jesus. So sometimes when I read this, I say, I would like to see the same thing that I read in the Bible happen in this time. Here in the United States, in my country, Chile, in Colombia. But the question is, why the crowds are not going with excitement to find Jesus? Why? Why is not happening here, maybe in the United States or in Westerberg? Why? The Bible said that when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd looking and waiting for him, a crowd with several needs. They were sick. They have a lot of needs. They want to know. They want the truth. They want to find the truly God. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. We can say that maybe Jesus felt pain for them, sorrow. Maybe he thought about their suffering and he started to talk with his disciples saying, hey, Peter, can you see the problem of the people? Oh, it's so sad. The Bible don't say that Jesus say something like that. The Bible said that he has compassion. This special feeling. And this compassion makes Jesus do something for people, for the crowd. This feeling of compassion moved the Lord Jesus, leave the heaven, came to this earth, sit with us, eat with us, walk with us, heal us, feed us. Because he has compassion in his heart. When he saw the crowd, he don't say, I want to be alone. He feel compassion. And he was moved to do something for the people. When we saw the people are surround us, what is the feeling that we have? What is the feeling that you have with the person that is sit behind you this morning? when you came to here and you crossed the door, what is the first feeling of the person that you saw? What was the feeling? What is the feeling that we have when we go to our jobs? What is the feeling when we saw our boss in our job? Ah, there is the boss man. Ah, Lord, why? He's so bad with me. Or opponents, or classmates, or relatives. What is the feeling that are in our hearts? But the Bible said that Jesus felt compassion on them, and that kind of compassion was a compassion that do something, not just feel something. Because sometimes we feel the news, bad news on TV, and we say, oh, it's so sad. Or when we read something on Facebook, we say, oh, poor Mary or Peter, for what they have to live with their families or some issues. No, the compassion that the Lord Jesus had was a compassion that moved him to do something. Not just feeling or good intention. Jesus healed the sick. I think that as a followers of Jesus, we need the same feeling and attitude. The same generous and committed compassion for people. My third point is Jesus or a crowd. A decision we must to take. The disciple of Jesus made a request to him, and Jesus made a call to them. What was that? Why Christianity is becoming so unpopular in some places today in the world? Why? I was talking with a person in Colombia, and he told me that many people around the world, especially in Europe today, are becoming Muslims. They are converting to Islam. And he told me it's because Islam has a message quite different as a Christian message. That if the message, the big point is, if you are a good person, you try to be a good person, you will go to heaven. And that's the main point of Islam. So it makes sense for us sometimes, for people, because it's hard to think that a bad person can go to heaven. And it's hard to think sometimes that churches are full of bad people. And they want to go to heaven. Ah, so it's too easy. But I have to do something, Jesus, to go to heaven? Just believe. Trust in me. But I have to do something, Lord Jesus? Not just trust in me. Believe. Why Christianity is not too popular, maybe, in some places today? When the disciples of Jesus, they saw the crowd, they were so happy with the Lord Jesus. Hey, Master, look at that crowd. They are coming for you. Yeah, our ministry is growing. We're becoming very famous. We'll make history. They say that? No. They say, Lord Jesus, Master, it's getting late. It's too late. I guess we have too much people here and we don't have too much food. So maybe it's going to be a good idea if you send them to another place so they can supply their needs in another place. So the disciples of Jesus, they had a really, really awesome idea. I don't think so. Because the Lord Jesus said, they don't have to go. Why? Because I'm here. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. But sometimes we saw many needs and we thought, well, I think that you should go to the doctor and see what happened with you. And maybe the first thing that we could say is, oh, let me pray for you. Because I believe that God can do something for you. Sometimes, as a Christian, we have good intention, I guess. But it's that intention about people is not the will of God for them. So for that reason, it's too important always to pay attention and take a look of Jesus in the Bible. When the disciples would, I guess, with good intention, go to Jesus and say, send them away to supply their needs, the Lord Jesus say, no, they don't have to go. I came for them. And the Lord Jesus give to his disciple an awesome calling and request. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. And when I read this about the word that the Lord Jesus said to his disciple, sometimes it's kind of funny when I think that it was a kind of surprise for his disciple that we must give them food to eat, 5,000 men and women and children. Why the Lord Jesus tell to his disciple, you give them something to eat? Why? He was teasing his disciple, and then Jesus was joking with them. Was a kind of challenge or something that they need to figure it out, or what? I guess Jesus had a point with his request. Our challenge today, a disciple of Christ, is not live for our good intentions, because I think we have a lot of good intentions as people, but follow the intention, the will of God. And we know that. We learn this in our churches. And I can tell you that it's the same that I heard here in Colombia, in Chile, Bolivia, in other countries. We came to the church to learn about the will of God. But sometimes we can't see very clear what we must to do with the will of God. I think that this event was more than a great history of a wonderful miracle in the Bible. I think that the Lord Jesus had the intention to teach his disciple and us a big lesson about the purpose of Jesus in this world and the purpose of the kingdom of God in this world. If we want to be imitators, followers, disciple of Jesus, we need to be always ready to learn from him with a humble heart and be ready to change our way to think, to talk, and the way that we usually do the things. When the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, something to eat, the Lord Jesus was trying to teach them, I guess, some important things that I want to share with you about my thoughts about this. Sometimes we know that different people have different visions about Christianity. And I can tell you, I had the opportunity to visit many churches, okay? Churches of Christ, Christian churches, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Lutheran, Methodist, many churches. And like you, I had the opportunity to talk with many people about the gospel, about God. And in every of those places, I found that many of them, they have different definitions and visions about Christianity. And sometimes I guess it's one of the reasons why the people today is a little confused about Christianity, because we can find a different visions about what is Christianity, or what means to be a Christian. And the question always, who has the truth? What vision is the true vision about Christianity, to follow that vision? We are so different. Here in this room, I know that we are so different between each one of us. We are too different, and we see the world in different ways. But I think that if we have different visions about Christianity, always we can see Christ to find the right way to think, to talk, and to do the things. The first thing that I learned about this passage, this passage, was when the Lord Jesus said, "They need not go away." And when I read this, is the Lord teach me and took my heart and said, "Darío, you have something important for the rest of the people. You have me." So the people need to find me. They don't need go away. You don't need to tell them, well, if you want to grow up, maybe you don't have to come to Ferris Church of Christ. Maybe you can go to this mega church here, because they have a lot of things, and maybe it's going to be a better place for you. I guess if we have Christ here in Casa de Oro, my Hispanic church, we have what people need. The most important thing. For that reason, the people don't must to go to another place. They need Jesus. And we need to know that. The second thing is, the Lord Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." Jesus invited his disciples to be part of his ministry. Jesus, with this commandment, say, "You are part of my ministry. If you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, it is not only about what can I do, but it is about what you can do and must to do with me." Sometimes when we see all the needs that the people have, maybe our first thoughts go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, take care of this." But when the Lord Jesus said, "You must give them something to eat," the Lord Jesus was inviting his disciples and saying, "You are part of my work. You are a co-worker with me. What I do, you must to do the same. We are a team. It's not about one person. It's about me." The third thing is, Jesus asked them, "Bring what they have at that moment." When the Lord Jesus requests something, made this call, calling to his disciple, he say, the disciple answered, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he, Jesus, said, "Bring them here to me." And I guess sometimes when we try to be good Christian, good disciple of Jesus, and we want to follow him and do the things that he did, sometimes we see the crowds, the people, the needs, the hard question that the people have, and we think, well, it's too much for me. I don't have, what can I offer you? What can I do? I'm not good speaker. My English is so bad. Lord, what can I do? And sometimes we came to Jesus with a few things that we think that we have, just a few loaves and fish. And we think that it's not enough for to help people. Maybe we think that we have here in this congregation is not enough to make a difference in Westerberg. But the Lord Jesus, He don't ask for all the things that they have. He has just what you have, and they bring just a few loaves and fish. It is true that most of us will feel paralyzed or freezer when we have the opportunity to do something in the name of our Lord here in the church, but also outside in our school, university, or job, where the people not always have a good attitude before Christians. We think that we are too little, that we do not have something special to give, that we are not special at all. And we can continue talking about our many or our limitation. But the Lord Jesus say, what you have, bring it to me. What you have. Fourth, the Bible say, Jesus looked up to heaven and said a blessing. The Lord Jesus took what the disciple they have, and the Bible said that Jesus blessed the loaves and fishes. And I think that if you have maybe a small thing in your life, and if you bring it to Jesus, I think with all my heart He can bless your life, what you have, and He can use it to change the circumstances and the heart of many people. Are you ready to follow Jesus, to follow His example? Are you ready to imitate Jesus? Today people have different message. Islam, Buddhism, New Age, new message that want to make an impact in their lives. And there are many ways where this message try to come to us. But today, people need to know and see a life of a person that is worthy to follow. And I think that this is the reason why the Lord Jesus teach His disciple about you have to give them something to eat. First and finally, I want to finish with this. The Bible says that after the disciple of Jesus bring him a few things, after that, the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says that more than 5,000 people eat, and they were satisfied, and the disciple of Jesus, they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. They received more than what they share. If you think that you will lose something if you give it to Jesus, I can assure you that you are wrong. If you think that if you give what you have today to the people outside of this place or in this place, and you give it in the name of Jesus, and for that reason you will think that you will have less, I can tell you that is not the truth. You know, I leave my country. When I decided to follow Jesus, I was a teenager. I guess I shared my testimony with you in the past. And when I found Jesus, I was so amazed with Jesus. I tried to follow Him, the Bible, and try to to take a challenge that what I read in the Bible, I want to see it in my life, in my time. And I take the decision to leave my family, my country, my house. I worked in a bank. I had a good money. I had a reputation. And I had many things. I had the opportunity to have, beautiful girlfriends. Many things. But when the Lord Jesus called me and He asked me, "You must give me everything that you have," and I say, "Oh, I'm not sure about that." But I take the decision. I took the decision. And you know what? When I took that decision, I see getting through a promise of the Lord Jesus in the Bible. In Luke chapter 18, verse 28 until 30, say, "And Peter said, 'See, we have left our homes and follow you.' And he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life.'" And I can tell you that I have many families around the world. Here in the United States, I have parents. I have brothers. I have sisters. When I travel to Colombia, some friends, and they know, they say, "Oh, Darío, you must stay in my house, because my house is your house." And I say, "Really? Sure, you must come." And I go there, when I cross the door, my friend tell, "Oh, Darío, I'm so happy that you are here, and you know, there is the fridge, so you are free to take everything that is in the fridge. You don't have to ask." And I say, "Really? Yeah, sure." And I go, open the fridge, and I can take everything that I want. You know, I leave many things. I give to Jesus many things, but He gave me more than I gave in the past. And I'm so amazed about that. I can travel to many places and have houses over there. When I talk with some youth in Chile, I say, "You know, you can take a look at me," and I say, "But you know, I have many houses." "Oh, so you are rich?" "Yeah, of course. I have many families." "Really? Oh, you are so big family." "Yeah, we are, I have a big family." And everything, we went to Colombia for a month for a Christmas break, and some of my friends at the college say, "Oh, Darío, you travel to amazing places." And I say, "Yes, thanks to the Lord. It's not because I want it, but the Lord lead us to that place." So, the impact of Christianity is not only to our Lord Jesus, my friends. It's about Him, but also it's about you and us. We can have a singular vision of our Christianity, but also, I can tell you, it's not about a singular vision. It's a plural vision. It's not about God and us. Always going to be about God, people, and us. Every change in this country, in this nation, in my country, in the world, starts with that calling of Jesus to work with Him and respond to follow Him. Follow Him as a Savior and follow His example of real and committed compassion as apprentice, as disciples. Do you want to answer the call of Jesus in doing what He did in the Bible? Do you want to give your life and what you have today so the Lord Jesus can use it to bless another people? He can bless you. He can use what you have. And He can do amazing things to change this nation, your family, your workplace, this city, your life. But it's the invitation of the Lord Jesus. Come to me. I will do it. I will bless it. But you must to come and work with me. In a few minutes, we'll have a time for a calling. Today, I want to pray for every one of you that maybe you want to do the same like the Lord Jesus did. And bring what you have today in your life and put it in the hands of the Lord Jesus so He can bless what you have and you can work with Him to bless another people. Christianity is not about a single vision. Christianity is not only about you. It's about many people. We need to have compassion in our hearts that will move it to do something with the Lord Jesus. I want to pray and we will sing a psalm. And if you want to come and say, Lord Jesus, this is what I have. I want to give it to you. Pastor Josh will pray for you. Amen. Now let's pray. Thank you, God, for this beautiful time with the church. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you give me to share what I learned from you, Lord. And I want to give you thank you because you always have an intention with your word to your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to pray for any person that today wants to give to you what they have so you can use it to bless and change the life of another person here in Besterberg, here in this nation. Also, I want to pray for maybe somebody that today don't take yet the decision to believe and trust in you, Jesus, and be baptized in your name. I want to pray for this person if this person wants to take the decision today to come to you, to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We worship you and we give you all the glory, all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.